What's going on, Outlander fans? Welcome back to Bannocks, Bunnings, and Kilts. I'm your host, Jenny Coco Cure. This is episode 20 of Bannocks, Bonnets, and Kilts, and we are still doing the Outlander rewatch recap, where we are going back to season one and rewatching and then recapping those older episodes. We are up to episode 5, which is Rent. I love this episode of Outlander because we get to get outside of Castle Leok and go out into the great outdoors in Scotland and see all of the great scenery, the great green plains and mountains and crystal clear lakes and rivers, and it's just awesome. So let's begin this recap, okay? We start out with Claire out on the road with all the guys. She's, you know, kind of melancholy because, you know, the guys are doing their thing and she's just kind of out there on her own as the lone woman on the road. She does befriend Ned Gowan. This is his first appearance in the show. We all love Ned, of course. And the way that she and Ned connect is that they start having a conversation, but when they're talking, Ned is coughing. He has a horrible cough. Claire gives him some thorn apple to smoke and clears up his lungs, so they become fast friends that way. When they're making their stops along the road, collecting the rents from the people are giving money, they're giving chickens, they're giving goats, they're giving grain, you know, whatever they have in order to pay their rent. You know, Dougal is being his charming self, you know, trying to make it more cool, you know, for the people to feel like, you know, I'm your laird, you know, and you're doing this because, you know, you have to pay your rent, but also I'm cool. I'm your friend. I'm your buddy. Hey, how you doing, Albert? Hey, what's going on, Sam? You're looking well. Look at you. You're so fat. You know, he's doing that thing. And Ned, meanwhile, is collecting the rents, you know, sitting at his little table that's set up. And Claire, you know, she eventually gets bored and starts wandering around this village that they stopped at. And she finds some women who are walking wool and finds out that the way that they do it is they pour hot pea that they've boiled onto the wool and to set the dye. And then they sing and chant, moving the wool, you know, around the table between them and just, you know, having a good old time with it. And then they go and they drink. So Claire went off with these ladies. She's walking wool with the ladies. She's drinking. They ask her to pee in the pot, you know. She finds out that one of the ladies has a baby who doesn't have milk because they had to give the milk to the laird. I mean, the goat, because, of course, the baby drinks goat's milk. So, you know, Claire doesn't feel like that's fair. But anyway, she's, you know, kind of befriended these ladies. And then Angus comes in, you know, ruining the party, dragging her out, talking about she smells like piss and liquor. So, you know, Claire's angry, you know, that Angus, you know, came in here manhandling her and stuff. So when she sees a goat tied to one of their carts, she decides to try to take it back to the woman. Of course, she can't do that. That's the goat that was paid for the rent. Rupert stops her and they get into a little bit of a scuffle. And when they're scuffling, there's this British guy who's there. He comes up and he says, Miss, may I help you? Are you having a problem? Talking to Claire. And Claire looks at him, but, you know, everybody else is like, nah, mind your business. Go on about your way, you know. Of course, the men are showing that they are armed. This British guy, he's all by himself. He's outnumbered. So, you know, he backs down. Then later, as, you know, they're continuing on the road, you know, Claire notices that, you know, there's a routine to this. They go to these villages, they collect rent. You know, but then she starts to notice that at the end of these collecting of rents, Dougal goes to the tavern with these people. And, you know, he's all friendly and they're joking and partying initially. But then he gets serious and he has like this giant speech. He's speaking in Gaelic, so Claire can't understand what he's saying. But after he finishes his speech, he ends it in this dramatic way by going over to Jaime and ripping his shirt down his back, showing Jaime's scars. You know, now initially, you know, Jaime's shocked by this, but he doesn't do anything. You know, Murtaugh wants to jump, you know, like he wants to, you know, jump on Google for doing that. Google. Why do I keep calling this dude Google? Dougal. He wants to jump on Dougal for doing that, but Jaime stops him, you know, because Jaime has, in essence, agreed to whatever they want him to do when he took that oath with Colm at the gathering. So he doesn't do anything. He allows this. He sits there quietly while all these people observe his scarred up back. And they're frightened. They look at this, they're like, oh my God, how horrible. So they get up and they start giving Dougal money. They give it to Ned. He's collecting it. So they go up, all these people who've already, you know, given for rent are now giving more money for this. Clara's looking at this and like, you know, she's thinking this is something. So later, you know, she shares with Ned that she believes that this is some kind of con. You know, she says, yeah, I see what y'all doing. Y'all are collecting the rent on one hand, but then at night when you go to the tavern, you collect Google's cut. Dougal. I still call this dude Dougal. You are collecting Dougal's cut. So Ned is like, oh, okay, well, aren't you just a smart one? You should be a lawyer if they let women be lawyers. She's like, well, they don't let them. They're not lawyers yet. And Ned was like, well, that'll be centuries away from here. She said only two. So that was a cute little joke. But anyway, yeah, she has decided that these guys are running a con on these poor people in these villages. You know, they're going, they're collecting the rent on one hand, but then on the other hand, they're taking money for Dougal. So that's what she has determined. Until she starts, as they go along, she starts to pick up more of the Gaelic language. You know, she starts to realize that, wait a minute, this isn't a con. This is political. She keeps hearing the name Stuart. She figures out what some of the Gaelic words mean after a while. And then she puts together that it means long live the Stuarts. She starts remembering how her and her husband, Frank, used to discuss the whole, especially when they were on the honeymoon back when they, before she came to the past, he was telling her all about the Jacobites and the rebellion. That's kind of what he was researching there with Reverend Wakefield. And she realized that this must have been Dougal trying to raise money for the Jacobites. And them being in 1743 and the Jacobite War only being a few short years away, she realized that she was probably in the beginning of the Jacobite Rebellion. Now, initially, she keeps quiet. You know, she doesn't want to let anyone know that she has figured this out. You know, she starts to pick up more info as time goes on. You know, at one point she hears Jaime and Dougal having an argument because Jaime is not feeling this whole ripping shirt thing. You know, that's not cool. And he expresses it to Dougal, you know, one night, and Claire overhears this and Dougal tells him, you got to do it because you have vowed, you have sworn to Colm that you would do what we say. And this is what needs to be done. And don't you want the king to be returned to the throne, the Stuart king to be returned to the throne? And Claire overhears this. So again, she's getting more info. After Dougal leaves, she, you know, she approaches Jaime and she says, you know, he's going to keep doing that. He's going to keep using you, you know, and you're just going to let him do it. And Jamie's like, well, he's my uncle and I respect him. So there's that, you know. So, you know, anyway, let's see what happens then. They just continue on, you know, traveling amongst all the people. At one point, they come to this village where, you know, the village is obviously destitute. I mean, much poorer than the other villages. And Dougal notices this, and he asks one of the tenants, what's going on? You don't have any money? And the tenant was like, well, the Redcoats came through here, and they just took everything. They took all our livestock, our grain, our money. We don't have anything. And he said, you know, I pay my rent, but tonight I can't even feed my family. So Dougal looks and sees all of this, and he starts passing, you know, the grain and the food and stuff that they had collected out to these people, and saying, we're all going to eat tonight. And then after that, we're going to go to the tavern. So Claire, no, wait a minute. You know what? I'm getting crossed up, because this is before Claire had found out that they were being political. My bad. Okay. This is Claire still thinking that they're thieving, and she hadn't figured out the political thing yet. But this part happened before she figured it out. So we'll skip that. Because we're going to make this a quick recap, y'all. So anyway, you know, when Claire figures out that this is political, you know, like I said, she keeps it to herself until they find these bodies on the road. These Jacobite, not Jacobite, but these Highlander men. The Redcoats have hung these Highlander men on these crosses that they stood in the road, carved T's on these men's chests for traitor, trying to make it look like it was the Watch. The Watch are these guys that that kind of go through the Highlands, kind of like cops, but they're dirty cops, you know. And they try to, you know, rob and punish people who they feel are being spies for the English. But, you know, they don't really have any proof that these people are spies. They just hear about it. And so they go to their houses, burn the houses down, steal from them, whatever. But they don't murder people. At least not, that is not their MO. But these people, these men were murdered, and they tried to make it seem like the Watch did it by carving the T's in their chest. But, you know, these guys figured out that it wasn't the Watch that did this. It was the Redcoats. So the next time they went to a village and did the whole tavern speech, Dougal, instead of making Jamie tear his shirt off or take his shirt off, just told them about this incident with these two men that were murdered by the terrible, horrible English Redcoats, and the people gave money based on that. And the next day, oh, and of course, my favorite scene in the episode, later that same night, after this particular speech, Claire was upstairs sleeping in one of the rooms because they stayed overnight, and she heard a noise outside her door. She picks up a heavy candlestick to attack whoever might be out there. When she goes out into the outside her room, she trips over something and realizes that Jamie is sleeping in front of her door. And she's like, what are you doing sleeping in front of the door? And he's like, I was up here trying to protect you because the men downstairs are drinking and I didn't want them coming up here finding you and doing something you wouldn't like. So Claire was like, oh, okay, well, I appreciate that, thank you. And he's like, no problem. And she was like, well, it's cold out here. Why don't you just come in the room with me? And he was like, in your room with you? I couldn't do that. And she says, why not? He says, well, because your reputation would be ruined. She's like, we have slept outside under the stars together before with all the other men. And he's like, that is not the same. It's totally different. So Claire's like, okay, whatever. Look, why don't I just give you the blanket off my bed? And he's like, okay, I'll take that. So she goes into the room to get her blanket. She hands it to him. And at that moment, their fingers touch as she's passing the blanket to him. So they gaze at each other again. And that, you kind of hot and you kind of sexy kind of way, you know. So they had another one of those romantic moments that we all love. But of course, it's broken quickly. And Claire wishes Jamie good night, and he says good night. He'll be right out here, you know. So gallant Jamie is doing his thing, protecting Claire. So the next morning, you know, Claire, you know, says hi to Jamie. But then when she sees Ned, she sits down with him, and she basically says, look, Ned, I done figured out what's going on. She reveals that she has figured out the whole thing about the Gaelic, you know, and the speeches. It's not thievery, it's political, and that they're trying to raise money for it. And she's like, what you're doing is admirable, but I'm going to tell you, it's pointless. You're going to lose. And Ned is like, how do you know? And she's like, just trust me, you're going to lose. The British army is the best in the world. They have the biggest, baddest army in the land. You're not going to win. And you know, Ned is talking about, well, he has faith in his fighting men and their hearts and all this stuff. And he would set them up against any army in the world. And he knows that they would prevail. Claire's like, nah, y'all gonna lose. A lot of you gonna die. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to warn you, you know. And Ned is like, well, you have your opinion. You're entitled to it. So she's offended him, you know. And then suddenly some guys that were in the tavern started saying something in Gaelic. They're being real loud and noisy. And the Mackenzie guys get upset with them and go over to them and start fighting. So there's a big barroom brawl that ensues. Claire and Ned get out of the way and let these fools fight. After it's over, Claire is just disgusted. She's patching up, you know, bloody wounds and putting alcohol on, you know, bloody, you know, knuckles or whatever. And Angus, you know, ow. She's like, you're like a 6-year-old. What is wrong with you? You guys are just crazy. Always out for a fight. You know, just any reason for a fight. And then Murtaugh says, the reason was you. And Claire looks around, me. And Murtaugh's like, yeah, one of them called you a whore. You know, he says, look, you're the guest of the Mackenzie. We can insult you, but God help any other man that does. I love that line. That, of course, is one of the infamous lines or famous lines from the show. And it has become very famous and very popular. I love it. So anyway, after that, Claire kind of warms to these guys. You know, she's like, oh, well, that's nice. I never would have thought you guys would fight for me. I mean, she doesn't say this, but it's clear that that is how she feels. And and you can tell that because of that, she even gets light with them as they are getting ready to head out to the next village. And Rupert is telling some story about some women fighting over him, you know, whatever. And then he says, can you believe that? And Claire says, I believe your left hand gets jealous of your right. That's what I believe. And Rupert halts and looks at her like this unbelieving look on his face. And Jamie is, you know, holding his breath like, uh-oh. And everybody else is looking like, okay. And then Rupert just tosses his head back and laughs because he's like, I've never heard a woman make a joke. And Claire says, well, there's a first time for everything. So that was a lighthearted moment. Anyway, as they move on from there, they get closer to Culloden Moor. You know, Claire starts reflecting back on her time with her husband again, where he told her and explained about how the whole Culloden War goes, how the Battle of Culloden goes down, and how it's so short, and how the Highlanders were all just slaughtered. And after that, the British just completely destroyed Highland culture, prevented people from Highlanders from wearing tartan, prevented them from speaking Gaelic, destroyed all the clans, just basically decimated the clan culture. So, you know, she was like really sad about that, thinking about that and thinking that this is going to be in 3 short years from now when this occurs. You know, and she's, you know, just melancholy thinking about that. And then at one point when they've stopped, you know, Claire notices that Ned is not really speaking to her in the friendly manner that he used to, because he's still probably up in his feelings about her trying to warn him about them losing against the British, you know. And, you know, she, you know, tells them she's going to go down to the river to wash. And Ned is talking to Dougal at this point, and Claire is probably wondering, you know, if he's going to tell Dougal what she said. So while she's down at the river washing, Dougal approaches her and says, so, who are you? You know, and she's like, what do you mean? He's like, you're putting doubts in my men's minds, and you're getting a little too political. So now she knows that that Ned has told Dougal. And she's like, look, I just had an opinion. I'm just trying to save your lives. I'm trying to warn you. Against what? Dougal says. And then suddenly, all these redcoats come out of nowhere. And one of them happens to be the same guy from the village that asked Claire if she was okay. And he says, madam, nice to see you again. He gets off his horse. They're surrounded by all these redcoats. And the man says, I'll ask you again, madam. Is everything all right? He looks at Dougal. Dougal says, she's fine. You know, mind your business, essentially saying that again. He asks Dougal, who are you? And Dougal, you know, explains who he is, that he's, you know, a Mackenzie. He's Dougal Mackenzie, brother to Colum. And these are his lands, the lands that you stand on. And the man looks at Dougal and is like, I don't care who you are. If you've done anything to this woman, you're going to pay for it. So he says to Claire again, madam, I ask you, are you here of your own free will? And Claire pauses, looks at Dougal, looks at the guy, opens her mouth to speak. And then, of course, the episode ends. So that's the end of that episode. That is, of course, Rent. And I love this episode. I love, like I said, the scenery, getting out in the great outdoors, you know, getting to see all of Scotland. I think this episode helped to show how beautiful Scotland is. And a lot of people, I think, especially fans of this show, travel to Scotland, the ones who can afford it. I wish I could. If anyone wants to make a donation to me, you can, you know, I have a PayPal. If you want some information on it, hit me up at JennyCocoCure@yahoo.com. I would love to go to Scotland. But those who go, and I had a friend that went not that long ago. She posted pictures on Facebook of her trip there. She didn't go where did she go? What city was she in? Was she in Edinburgh or was she in Inverness? I don't know. She was in some one of the larger towns in Scotland. I can't remember which one she was in, but she posted lots of great pictures on Facebook of herself going through the town and you know, seeing a lot of the countryside and also eating at restaurants and the interesting food and stuff and some of the interesting people that she met. So that was cool. It's always cool to see stuff like that. So yeah, a lot of people since this show have been going to Scotland, and this show has really opened up tourism, I think, a lot there. So that's a good thing. That's cool, you know. And, you know, it's just, you know, good culturally, you know, for the Scottish people. And, you know, I know I have heard of people who are actually Scottish and from Scotland who didn't know a lot about this Scottish history until this show, you know. So it's opened up a lot of things for not just Americans and other people, other cultures, but for Scottish people as well. So very cool. Anyway, guys, that's it for this week. This week's episode of Bannocks, Bonnets, and Kilts. Next week, we're going to be up to episode 6 of season 1, and that is entitled The Garrison Commander. Now, The Garrison Commander is a tough one. A lot of violence, a lot of brutality, a lot of gore in this episode. And there's this one scene. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, the whole beating scene, the whipping scene. That's a tough one. I've watched this episode as many times as I have most of the other episodes of Outlander, and I always skip this scene. I do. I fast forward through it. I skip it. I don't like watching it. But for the recap, I will watch it next week. I will watch it just once, even if I watch the rest of the episode more than once. That scene, I will rewatch it one time just because that's what I'm doing right now. So, all right. Anyway, look forward to that. Okay, guys, you guys have a good week. Thank you for tuning in again to Bannocks, Bonnets, and Kilts. Please come back next week and check me out. In the meantime, take care, and I'll holla at you later. Bye-bye.